So there was a time when we ran like a Where's Wally night. You know, Where's Wally, the little cartoon book, and you got to find that character. And I was the one of the Wallies, which is probably appropriately named. And what we did through the night is we changed costumes. So one of my costumes was I was dressed up as a woman in Myer Centre in Rundle Mall. The security guards followed me around for that period of the night. And funny enough, none of the young people found me. It's also disturbing. There was an Easter camp where some of the other leaders thought it would be quite good for us to do a Spice Girls imitation. So I was Angry Spice, and it was fairly embarrassing. But over and over again, I have 17 years of sheer embarrassment. You get quite numb after a while to doing those kinds of things. Well, I've done a number of inappropriate, embarrassing things in my life, but nothing like this lady. This lady takes it to another level, I think. So Jesus goes to Simon the Pharisee's house. He's reclining at the table, which I believe is still the way people can do this in other cultures around the world. And this woman enters the room. She's a known woman. It says in our version, is a woman who has lived a sinful life, verse 37. The Aussie Bible, I don't know if you've ever read that, but the Aussie Bible says she's the town bike because she was probably the sex worker in town. So she's a woman of some reputation. And this ex-prostitute comes into the room. She's overcome with emotion. She anoints Jesus' feet. She cries on them. She kisses them repeatedly. Any time in any period of history, this has got to be a super uncomfortable moment. It's vivid. I mean, if you imagine it, it's messy. It's a spectacle. And so Simon is disgusted, isn't he? That's the response I'd say he has. He's disgusted by her behaviour. But he says to himself, at the very least, it shows that Jesus cannot be a man of God. In verse 39, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus didn't need any miraculous insight to guess that this woman was a sinner. This woman, I reckon, carried the reputation in what she wore and the way she behaved. But as far as this Pharisee is concerned, holiness, good, holy people have nothing to do with sin, nothing to do with sinners. And so according to Simon's view, if Jesus were a man of God, he would ensure that this woman would not have touched him. He would have said something. But instead of that, he shares with her her embarrassment and her reputation. Her sin rubs off on him. And the irony in this passage is Jesus is a prophet and knows what he is thinking, Simon. And he knows that Simon needs to hear this story about two people have large cancelled debts, and that debt provokes more love. The debts are significant. One debt is about a year's worth of wages. The other debt is about 1.5 months worth of wages. But regardless, it's clear that whoever owes the debt can't pay it back. And so Jesus says to Simon, now which of these will love him more? And Simon in verse 43 says, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. In that answer, Simon betrays himself. He betrays that he does not know his own debt. He does not know that he is a debtor. And he does not appreciate that he has not a clue about love. We know that he doesn't show Jesus the courtesy of washing his feet, which is something you should do as a host for a guest. He doesn't give Jesus the honour of welcoming him with a kiss or anointing him with oil. He treats Jesus with disdain and disrespect. His behaviour shows that he has no love for Jesus. in the words of Jesus from the story, whoever's been forgiven little loves little. And I reckon Jesus means Simon in particular. Simon loves very little. On the other hand, this sex worker loved Jesus deeply because she'd received forgiveness. Her love and respect far outweighed Simon's. She embarrasses herself. She's extraordinarily generous in anointing him. She gives her best. And in the words of Jesus' story, she loved much because she had been forgiven much. People who love like this woman are very glad to come to Jesus because they know their great need and they know that Jesus is incredibly kind to people in great need. The story finishes with Jesus in verses 48 to 50 saying, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. The reason why Jesus is saying this is so that the whole crowd around this woman would know that as far as Jesus is concerned, he fully accepts her and that her sins are dealt with. I suspect that already had a conversation prior to this. That's why the woman's responding to Jesus. But everybody else in the room needs to know. And people like this woman, they love to come to Jesus because they know they've got a great need and they know that Jesus is the one who can meet that need. This simple story of two people owing debt and this example that we see in Simon and the woman show us that we love much when we know that we've been forgiven much. I can acknowledge I have a few sins, but it's actually my many sins which bring into focus how much I've been forgiven. Sometimes we think we've got our life together, that we don't have much wrong. I see that shaking of your head. But we're wrong. It's many sins. We have many sins, people. Simon believed he didn't need to be forgiven much at all. And those kinds of people who are not aware of their many sins struggle to come to Jesus. They see no need for him. But a surface reading of Simon's life says that this man is deeply out of touch with his many sins. This man is proud. He is a hypocrite. He fails to demonstrate the gracious character of God. He demonstrates instead disrespect and disdain. And that is very clear to us who read the story, but it is completely not clear to Simon that he has, in fact, many sins. He was far better at seeing the sin of a woman than seeing the sin of his own heart. Somehow he'd found a way of letting himself off the hook, and he had no love for Jesus because he thought he had no need for Jesus. The terrible thing that happens in the story is Jesus shames him. If you can't see your own sin, it seems, Jesus is only too happy to tell you where you are going wrong. So what Jesus says in front of all the people that are eating at the meal is, you did not give me any water for my feet. You did not give me a kiss. You did not put oil on my head. Jesus is happy to shame the man in front of his friends because the man cannot shame himself in front of himself. It's our many sins. It's our many sins that tell us we need forgiveness. How about you? Everyone has a heart problem that desperately needs Jesus' forgiveness. The woman knows it. She's got a town who is happy to tell her this is the case. A reputation. But how about us? Who tells us we have many sins? How do we stay in touch with the fact that we are sinners who need forgiveness? There's this practice that the Benedictines do called the Daily Examen, where they pause in their day and they review how their day went and examine their life. Where have I sinned in thought, word and deed this day before you, God. They ask for forgiveness. It's a great practice. At least once a day we ought to reflect on the way we're living our life. For me, that begins at actually most of the day, but certainly at the start of the day. How about people in our life? We have very few people who'll actually say to us, you have something you need to deal with. A fierce friend who will call us on our stuff. We have very few people like that. Sometimes lots of times our families are very helpful in helping us see our many sins. But I personally like to choose friends. But do you have a friend like that, a fierce friend who can name the times that you're a bit out of touch? Because the warning is in this passage that forgiven people love coming to Jesus, while those who ignore their problems completely miss him and will be shamed by him. It's actually the larger narrative of the story of the Bible. That you can deal with your sinfulness before God now and trust in what God has done for you in Jesus. You can have forgiveness proclaimed over your life now, or you can wait to the end of time and it will be named in front of everyone. And the judge of the whole earth will do right. He will see all. There's no pretense there. And the banquet will be a bit bigger. I don't know about you. I'd prefer to go the way of the woman and own my sin now and receive the forgiveness of God now. It's good for us to realize that we're not good enough. We have failures in our life and we need to repent. It's good for us. Because it opens up for us the opportunity to be forgiven. I wonder what we're like as a church. I reckon as you read the story, we know we don't want to be like Simon the Pharisee. Who wants to be like Simon the Pharisee here? Hands up. No one wants to be like him. We either want to be like the woman, a forgiven person who knows that they've been forgiven by Jesus and they love much, or we want to be like Jesus, don't we? People who welcome those who are far from God so that they can know his forgiveness and grace and his kindness. Those are the two kinds of people we'd like to be like, the woman or Jesus. Have you ever achieved exactly the opposite you were intended? Like you discouraged somebody when you intended to encourage them, or you caused conflict when you were intending to kind of patch things up? Ever done that? Or is it just me? Well, it turns out the church is doing exactly that. We hope to achieve a result, which is we'd hope to be like the woman or like Jesus to the world. And in fact, we're like Simon. In the US, the Barna Group did some research and they said that 72% of Americans see church as out of touch with reality. 87% see the church as judgmental. In Australia, McCrindle Research said that 47% said that the church was irrelevant to my life, and the top five perceptions of church included these words: authoritarian, exclusive, hypocrites, outdated. Does that sound like Simon the Pharisee to you? Something's gone wrong. We're hoping to be like Jesus to the world, and it turns out that they see us as Simon the Pharisee. We are achieving the exact opposite of what we intend. What shocks me with Simon is that his disdain for Jesus is less than his disdain for the vulnerable woman. That's what riles me. Fun thing to get angry at Jesus, but you pick on this lady. His lack of respect for Jesus kind of whispers how far he is from God, but his lack of grace towards the woman shouts it that he does not know the love of God. As we understand God's forgiveness, we care much, we give much, we love much. And that finds its expression, particularly with the most vulnerable people in the world. People who need grace and kindness. Because we all know we're lost. We all know that we're poor and we all know that we need help. And why wouldn't you want to show that to that being found and knowing the riches of God's grace and helping? Why wouldn't you want to show that to somebody else who is in need? Because that's true. People who are like Jesus love inviting people to Jesus. We just love it. This story here is of particular interest to me. Because I remember sharing this story once with a lady who was lost, feeling ashamed in her life. And I just read the story verbatim. She wasn't a Christian. And I said, I want to read you about this lady, a woman that met Jesus, read the story verbatim. And I said to her, would you like to meet this Jesus? And she said, yes. That story sits quite close to me because I can see a woman who was far from God, who was very vulnerable, coming home and seeing the difference that Jesus has went on to make in her life. Why wouldn't I want to do that? Why wouldn't I want people just like that woman to come close to God, to know forgiveness, to be set free? Why wouldn't I want that? But the people outside our church don't see us like that. They see us as Simon the Pharisee. So what do we do when we hear such bad news, when it seems to have gone terribly wrong? Well, I think we do what Simon was invited to do. We love much because we have been forgiven much. That's the invitation to Simon. Start realizing that you've been forgiven much and love much. Now, we have been forgiven much. The way we talk about sin and the way we talk about what's wrong in the world is not us and them. It's not the world outside that's so terrible and nasty and we on the inside who are so holy. We're in the same boat, people. The problems that you have are the same problems that people who don't follow Jesus have. The errors we experience are the same as they experience. We are in the same boat. It's about time we stop talking as if it's us and them. It's us. Us, apart from the grace of God. We are in all of us are in serious trouble. We all come to God just as we are, untidy, broken, in need of God's grace. There's no us and them, it's just us. Lost people who need to be found by a loving God. And we're forgiven much. Which means we ought love much. We're invited to be as embarrassing as that woman is. To be grateful, generous in our love for Jesus and the people he loves. Simon ought to have been the same to that woman as Jesus was. That was the invitation. Love this woman like I love her. That's what I love about this, that Christian City Bible Forum video. It's full of energy and passion. They say in the video, we try anything, anywhere, so that anyone with a pulse gets to hear about Jesus. I don't know if they wear white rabbit suits in the mall, but it illustrates how far and how much they are prepared to embarrass themselves and have a go so that others could know Jesus. They'll try anything. They're creative, they're risky, they're passionate. They couldn't care less about what others think of them. That sounds a lot like a woman I know. And it sounds like a church I want to be in. When it comes to sharing our faith with our family and with our friends, what holds us back mostly? Is it because we think I don't know what to say? Is it because I might embarrass myself? Is it because we're worried about what others will think of us? We could learn something from this woman, couldn't we? When we're forgiven much, we love much, and all those things don't matter. Let me pray. So our God. Firstly, I want to pray for people who are far from you. People who are like this woman who know that they are in deep need, yet may not know your name or the good news that comes through Jesus. I know no better person, no better Saviour than for them to meet you. And I would pray that they would meet you and that we would bear witness, point them to you. So I want to pray for people just like that. And I also mean anybody in this room today. Anybody in this room who does not know you or feels far from you, may they know right now that they can come freely to you and that you are only too willing to say your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. May they know that truth today. And then, Father, I want to pray for us as a church. Spare us from being like Simon. Call us on our sin if we need to be called on it. Rebuke us, but draw us to you so that we may be Jesus to our world, showing your love and your compassion and bringing your freedom to the people who are far from you but close to us. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Jason.